thanksgiving to God for those who have joined the church triumphant. Soon a prayer for Jean. But the disciplined beseeching of God for my own life, the setting aside of time to be holy, not so much. I remember being on a gurney waiting to be wheeled into surgery a few years ago. whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Jesus himself prayed these psalms, words given to him, prayed in him, my God, even from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalm 22. The words that come from God, Bonhoeffer assures us, will be the steps on which we find our way to God. Next, in response to the disciples' request, Jesus tells a story about an encounter between friends at midnight. Midnight is the hour when we toss and turn because we are ill-prepared for the need of a friend who shows up unannounced on our mind. Or maybe midnight is the hour when an ill-prepared friend intrudes upon our otherwise locked up life. The context of the story has prompted interpreters to identify God with the less than responsive friend and us with the persistent petitioners. Yet if you continue listening, Jesus piles on the examples of our merely human responses to one another's petitions. A child asking for a fish or an egg. Will you give the child a snake or a scorpion in return? Of course not. Jesus' point is that if even someone like the grudging friend will get out of bed at midnight to help a friend who does not really deserve the help, if a parent will respond to the simple requests of a child for sustenance, how much more will God give us? Give us what? Luke says God gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Matthew says God gives good things to those who ask. These gifts are one and the same, but usually not what we have in mind. Even though we may ask for vengeance, for success, for prosperity, for winning, for miracles to satisfy our longing hearts, one way or another, God gives us some manifestation of God's life in our own life. The gifts of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, understanding. The gift of God's Spirit, in fact, teaches us how to pray. But finally, I do not think the story Jesus tells and the examples he gives are meant to teach us that prayer is what we do in order to get something from God. Jesus' point in all three instances has to do with the relationship our asking joins. What I imagine the disciples overheard in Jesus' prayer was one side of a most intimate relationship, the human side of a life-giving conversation. And yet, as Jesus speaks to us in Scripture, we also hear the other side of the conversation. Hear God's word addressed to our every weakness. In the constant give and take that the disciples witnessed between Jesus and his heavenly Father, the 12 must have longed to live in the lively trust that faith in the living God is. So Jesus told them else, Robert Jensen imagines. Prayer would be stupid or arrogant. God, as an outside artisan of the cosmos, would have to intervene to respond to prayer. Either he would thereby mess up the perfect clockwork, or the intervention would mean that the cosmic mechanism had been imperfectly made in the beginning and needed adjustment. But, says Jens, the world is not such a mechanism. It occurs, rather, in the freedom of history, and of a history in which we are participants. When we pray, we ask God to listen to our advice about how the world should go. Well, if nothing else, Jesus gives us an imagination for the conversation that prayer is. I don't know about talking to an invisible God, one among you once said to me, but I can talk to Jesus.